Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. Been encouraged as we went through the service thus far, and I trust you have been too. I see on the board over here, I don't see it now, but I did see. I trust somewhere in the process of the service this morning that when people were either going out for Sunday school or coming back in, sometime in there, it must have been when they went out because they put it up before, somebody put an attendance thing there this morning. 106. It's all of us that's here. Unless they missed somebody. But I trust whoever counted tried hard to get everybody. Is that all that's here this morning? Just 106. I see a head or two shaking. No. No, we believe there's more here than that. We can't see them. We can't count them. We have God. We trust that God is here with us this morning. He's in our presence. Here worshiping with us, hearing our worship. I'm not going to speak on that this morning. But there's something else that is here this morning. In the spirit world, something else we can't see. But I trust you are convinced that it's here, and that is angels. Angels. We don't look at angels this morning. I titled the message this morning, Angels, God's Ministers to Man. Hebrews 1:14 says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? That's it talking about angels. Sent forth to minister. You can go through the Bible, and we're going to be turning to a lot of scripture passages this morning, and I trust you can stay with me as we go through this. I'm afraid the time's going to run out because it is a large subject, but I think we do well to think about it. I've been pondering in the past about angels and their work. We hear the phrase many times today about your guardian angel. Being with your guardian angel. In other words, something that's looking out for you. In other words, an angel that's looking out for you. Guarding you, protecting you. I believe we have that today, and we're going to look at, as we go through life, we have that, I believe, and we want to look at that maybe a little later on. But then as I pondered this Christmas season, did you think about what the angels did? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Actually, let's turn to Luke to start with. Trying to think where to start reading, where not to. Let's start reading chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, talking about an angel, verse 11, maybe we should start there. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So we got John the Baptist there. An angel came and prophesied and said that John's going to be born. He's going to be the forerunner of Jesus and prepare the way for Jesus to come. Let's jump on down to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind about what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 34, then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Angel proclaiming the birth of Jesus to Mary. What was the second song we sang this morning? Does anybody remember that? That was the first one, I believe. Oh, come all you faithful. Okay, thank you. Just to check, make sure you think about what you're doing this morning. Okay, so 223 was, O come all ye faithful. And there's a phrase stuck out to me, and I want to start maybe into my points that I have. We kind of read, and we didn't go back to Matthew. If you go into Matthew and read about the promise that the angels gave to about Jesus being born there, we'll not take the time to read that at this time. But as we come to this song, there's something that stood out to me. And we'll use it as a springboard for something, a fact about angels. That's something different. Okay, verse 2 says, Son of the Father, begotten, not created. He came down from heaven, was born of a woman. He was at the creation. He just came down. He was begotten as a man at that birth. Okay? But he was not created. Okay? That brings me to my point that I'd like to think about angels. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Looking back at the creation, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It doesn't have the word angels in there, but it has visible and invisible. Now we said this morning, there's invisible beings here. There's spirits here. The spirits of angels. Angels were created. Angels were created. It's not a matter of whether there is angels. There is angels. They were created. They're here today. We're not going to take the time to turn to all these as we think of the number of angels, but just start thinking with me. Genesis 32, verse 2, you can turn to that sometime and think about. Jacob referred to the angels that he saw as God's host. Okay, God's host. You know the account in 2 Kings 6 where Elisha was compassed about and he was fearful. Well, Elisha was and his servant was. Was fearful. Elisha prayed and said, open his eyes that he may see. And what did he see? His servant saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots. Angels of God. Matthew 26. You can read where Christ was on the cross. And it says there that he could have called for 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him. Paul refers to innumerable company of angels in Hebrews 12. Revelation 5, as John was writing there and he had a glimpse into the future and into things that are to come, he writes, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now you put a number to that. We don't know how many there are, but we know that there is enough to go around. We know that there's plenty. God created them. If He needs more, He can create more. There's plenty. All right, I've divided the message into two parts. First part is going to be looking at the attributes of angels, and the second part is going to be the work of angels. So look at the attributes of angels. The first one I have, angels are spiritual. In other words, they're spirit beings, not made of material flesh like we have today. Hebrews 1:7, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? I want to turn to that. I would like to read verse 13 and 14 as well. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That was that verse we started out with. All right, so they're spirit beings. You say, well, yes, but there's examples in Scripture where they've seen men. They've seen human form. Found it interesting. All the times when angels have taken a visible form, and that's if someone correct me, but it usually is with a miracle. There's something miraculous happening. I believe when man saw that visible form of the angel, it was God revealing himself to man through an angel, opening up who God is. We think back to the Elisha and his servant. It was revealing God's power to that servant. All right? So we know that they're spirit beings. The second attribute of angels. Each angel has identity. Each angel has its own identity. I take that from the thought that, well, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We read some of this, but I want to just pull this out. And the angel answered and said unto him in verse 19, I am Gabriel. An angel. I'm Gabriel. Verse 26 to 35 bears that out some more as he remarks to Mary. In verse 26, he says, Gabriel was sent from God. Identity. It was an angel named Gabriel. Go back to in your Bibles to Jude chapter 9. Or Jude 9. Jude doesn't only has one chapter. But Jude 9. We see another angel identified. Has an identity. Jude 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The identity of angels. They're not just something that's all mixed up in this. And when we don't know which one to go. You know, sometimes today, if you have send somebody to do something, well, I'll take our example in our house. If I send somebody to go get something, it works better if I put a name to it. I believe the same is true in the spiritual realm, in the spirit realm. God can say, you, so-and-so, go. You, Gabriel, go. Can assign them things to do, what to do. Just an attribute of angel is that they have their own identity. All right, the third point. Angels, they are immortal. They're not subject to death as we are. Luke 20, verse 36. There's this question brought to him. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They're coming to Jesus and trying to tempt him here. And Jesus is answering them. He had this woman that had five or seven husbands. And they're wondering who in the resurrection, if you're going to believe in the resurrection, how's this going to work? Because, you know, there's seven men that had her, and if they all are in heaven there. But he makes this statement to them. But they which, verse 36, he answers her and then says, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. And we can pull out from there this passage as well, that angels do not have a distinct gender. But we're looking at the part of they're immortal. They're not subject to death. Okay? We're equal to the angels. They can't die anymore. Because we're equal to the angels. And the angels can't die. So we have man. If we're equal to the angels in heaven today, man must have his spirit. Man has his spirit placed in a body here on this earth. Okay? In this body, God gives us health, strength, whatever we have here on this earth. But it's only for a limited time. You see, the soul that was placed in you lives on to eternity. The seriousness of it. Man's soul is in this earthly body for a limited time. But our souls are immortal, just as the angels. The angels are their spirits are going to live on in eternity. We could turn to Matthew 25. We won't turn there. But we know where it says about the righteous are going to dwell with God in glory. And the unrighteous are going to go to hell. The place prepared for the devil and his angels. Eternal death. You see, the angels that fell still will live on for are immortal as well. The fourth point, attributes of angels. They have greater power and strength than man. 2 Peter 2:11, I have that in my notes here. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. They have greater power and might than man. Think about at the Lord's resurrection, as Jesus was hanging on the cross there, we could turn to Matthew 28 and look at that as the power that was displayed at the resurrection. The angel came down. There was a Roman guard around that tomb. The angel came down and rolled the stone back. Had all power. For man to get into that grave with that guard there, or as the disciples are accused of, the Jews say to this day that the disciples stole him away, it would have taken a great force of power to get through that guard. But it took an angel of the Lord, but a little bit. Had the men falling back as dead men. Great power is an attribute of the angel. This power that the angels have will be displayed further on yet. We're not done seeing the power of the angels as they work. At the end of life, God's going to send out the angels to do the reaping. Matthew 13:39. Says, the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Calling people to the judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When Jesus comes back, he's going to have mighty angels with him. That'll be displayed yet in the future. But we have, in Revelation 20, we have something that'll happen in the future as well. And we're thankful for this point. As we think of the power that the angels have, Revelation 20, verse 1 and 2, and verse 10. That was chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. In verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Aren't you thankful that the angels have power over the devil? That day, he can't get into heaven. He will be cast out into hell. What a day that will be for those that are saved. But for those that are not prepared, what a day if they're cast into hell with the devil and his angels. Let us serve God. The power and might of angels cannot be measured by any standards that marks the limitations of man. It's beyond our comprehension, the power that must be given to angels. Attributes of angels, number 5. They do not have infinite knowledge. They do the will of God, but they don't know everything that's happening in the future. I believe they know a lot what's happening in the present. But in the future, there's at least one thing that I found that they do not know, and that's in Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's something that is hidden from angels. That is when the end of time will be. It's hidden from them. They don't have all the knowledge. That infinite knowledge is reserved only for the Father. God. Angels have a lot of knowledge, I believe, and can see what a lot of what's happening, but they don't have that infinite knowledge of when the end of time is going to be. The sixth point, attributes of angels. Jude 6. It's going to be this next point I have. Jude 6. We talked about the angels and the devil that's going to be thrown into hell. Where did they come from? Were they created sinful? Well, Bible readers know that it wasn't that way. But this verse brings it out. Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. We see here, we go on down to verse 9 is what we read about Michael the archangel when he contended with the devil. But these angels, Lucifer and his followers, Satan and his followers, the angels that followed him, they were created good. All right, so the point I have, they were all created good. In their first estate, the way God created them, they were good. But Lucifer and his followers lost their goodness. The angels that are still in heaven, how do you know that they have goodness? Well, we know that they have goodness because they do the will of the Father. They do what the Father wants. Today, we also are good if we follow what God would have us to do. But the angels were created good. They knew no sin. But Lucifer rose up. He's going to be like God. And he lost his goodness. The seventh point. So we look at the attributes of angels. They feel emotion. They feel emotion. I believe the angels are happy when there's joy in heaven. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There we have the joy that must be in heaven, and it must be the angels. Happiness. Thankful that another one has made it through, free from Satan's clutches. They feel the emotion of joy and happiness. Luke chapter 2. Part of the birth of Jesus that we didn't read yet this morning. I'm not sure. I don't think we're going to take time to read. Time's slipping away on me. But you know the account. As the angels came, verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them. One angel came unto them, is the way I read that, and brought the news to them. But then in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. The joy that must have went forth as they thought of Jesus. The plan of redemption was in this baby and was going to come to pass. The joy that was there. They feel emotions. They can be joyful. All right, the last part of the message, the second part. What is the work of angels? What are they doing? What are they here for? The work of angels, angels have been in the past They are today, and they will be in the future, carrying out God's plan and God's work. The first point I have, they are servants of God ministering to the believers. Servants of God ministering to the believers. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it's where we know that Jesus was in the wilderness. He was being tempted of the devil. He went through much anguish, much testing. And it says in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They did that in the past for Jesus. Today, when you get in trials of life, they work and minister to you. They can help you. They can give you comfort. They can protect you. Guardian angels, yes. And they will keep you in the future if you follow God. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. They're there, ready to help you. First Corinthians 1:11, verse 10, we know that talks about the sisters. Let me turn to that. 1 Corinthians 11. There's so many verses about angels. I challenge you to pick up your Bible and just study into the angels and their work. And I feel like I'm only scratching the surface this morning. But I want to stir your minds up to how they're helping. But for the sisters, the headship order and having their head covered. And it says in verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I remember a story that I heard some time ago about someone in a rest area. Some sisters in a rest area, and there's some rough looking people came in and they got kind of scared. And one of the people said, we wouldn't hurt you because we know God's working with you. And they didn't say anything. They felt God's presence. And there's other ones. There's some that are more. Heard a story of a man that was in jail, and they questioned him why he didn't touch harm one of the sisters that was walking somewhere and had contact. And he said, shared later that he saw the sister, and he saw two big men, one on each side of her. And he said, I'm not going to tangle with her, with them. The sister says, there was nobody else with me. Stories that go around. Take them for what they're worth, but the angels can do that. They're carrying out the guardian and ministering to us. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. He was protected. God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They carry messages. The second point I have is the work of angels. They carry messages. Think with me for a while, or a little bit, about as an angel came to Abraham with a message that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. They carried the message to him. Or you could turn to Isaiah as the angel came and showed him his life's work. Or we read the account there about Zacharias telling him he was going to be the father of John the Baptist. Or to Mary, they announced the coming of Jesus. Or to the shepherds. Yes, they carry messages to man here on this earth. Message from our God. The third point, work of angels. They give direction to the believers. Acts 8. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to take the time to read to verse 29. I know it's still, it breaks out before it's done, but there's too much reading there for us. But you know the story. Maybe for a change of position, let's just stand as we read from verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. On to verse 29. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chair. You may be seated. Turn with me back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 7. This is talking about Cornelius. He saw a vision about the night. Verse 3. And he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And verse 4 says how he was afraid. And verse 7, And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And it goes on there in that story. Or we can turn to Acts chapter 12. Peter was in prison and he was miraculously delivered out of prison. This point that I have, the third point, he gives direction to the believers. The work of angels is to give direction to the believers. So let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and think about that. Philip was there. The Ethiopian was over there. And the Spirit is working. And said to Philip, Go towards the south. Just go. The angel spoke to him. Circumstances of life today can do the same. But this angel that spoke, I think, is different than what is in verse 29. You see, the angel directed him. The angel took him there. The work was done to get him there by the angel. But in verse 29, and then the Holy Spirit took charge and said, Go, join yourself. I put you in those circumstances for a reason, because you need to go there. Okay, the work of the angels is give direction to the believers. Lead them. Circumstances can work. Be work of the angels. Circumstances can be work of the angels. Maybe there should be a sign on your circumstances of life. Angels at work. Believe so. We were going to the ordination. Just something that happened recently as I pondered this, and we were going to the ordination down there at, what was that, Swatars, where they had the ordination, and we were heading there, and there's a traffic jam on 81 North. We were running short on time already, and you can start getting uptight because we want stuff to go. Circumstances of life. There's things that get out of our control. We couldn't help it that there were semis rolled on the road. But circumstances of life. Give direction to the believers. I don't know whether that had any significance that day. I don't know. But leave it in God's hands. Leave it with the angels that are doing the work. Or at Acts 10 there where we read, as we look at the angels giving direction to the believers, Peter and Cornelius, two men again that were way apart, had no connection, and the angel came and said, Go. Go over there. Angel brought them together. Or the angel, when Peter was in prison, let him out of that prison, gave him direction. This is Peter, you're not needed in prison. You need it out there. We're going to lead you. We're going to direct you. Acts 27, verse 23 says, Paul was given direction right before the shipwreck. An angel stood by him and said, this is what's going to happen, Paul. Angels at work in the Christian's life. The fourth point, work of angels. They will execute the judgments of God. We touched on this already. I'm going to read again from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. And when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Do you see a herding happening? I know we don't like to think about people as herding people. But the angels are going to be there. They're going to be directing people as that whole thing unfolds. Helping to execute the judgments of God. Going to bring them in. And they're going to stand before God. We already read about in 2 Thessalonians about God's going to come with His mighty angels, and He's going to bring judgment on the earth. The angels, His mighty angels, are going to be there helping to mete out that judgment. Man stands no chance to run away from the angels of God. No chance. They will execute the judgments of God. They will be there, and they will help to carry that out. The fifth point. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Work of the angels. I have for this point, they will carry the redeemed when they die. As I studied for this, this passage took on a new meaning to me. I'd like to share it with you this morning to think about. This is my last point I have as I think of this message this morning. Just some closing comments here after this point. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Let's just start reading back at verse 19. I think we need to catch the whole account here. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed with in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. And then the rich man goes on and starts pleading for those that are back here on this earth yet, his brethren. Do you see the difference when you face death? Do you see the difference? Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Comforted there. From death on, the angels helped him through and walked, carried him over to be with Abraham. Angels carry the redeemed when they die. Where was Satan and his angels when the rich man died? It doesn't say they were there. The rich man served Satan as he lived on this earth. He served himself. And in serving self, you serve Satan. He died and was buried. Simple as that. Placed in that grave. Where do you want to be when you die? Don't you want to have angels waiting on you? To carry you through? I trust you do. Or do you want to just be, you died and was buried? What a sad commentary. But Satan doesn't care how he gets you. He don't care when he gets you, as long as he gets you. And that's all he cares then. He's going to show you no compassion, no mercy. God's angels, what angels were created for was for good works to men here on this earth. Satan fell away from that. He no longer cares other than to damn more souls in eternity. The question comes, which angels are you going to have help you in life? Those that are just looking for your soul to cast it into hell? Are you going to reach out and accept Jesus and His provision and let His angels help you through? Satan's angels only bring death, destruction, and confusion. He is the father of lies. He's only going to bring death, and He destroys life. God help us that we serve God. And let His angels help us and guide us through to glory. Let us kneel for prayer.